The 25th kina is entitled Mi Itein Roshi Mayim Ve'eni Mekor Nozlai. I wish that my head would be full of water of tears, and my eyes would be the source of flowing tears. And it's a kina which, like kina 23, Hacharishu Mimeni Va'adabera, addresses the medieval tragedies which befell the Jewish people, primarily during the period of the Crusades. But there are two differences between 23, Hacharishu Mimenu, and 25, Mi Itein. Number one, the syntax of Mi Itein is a very different syntax in most of the kinos. It was written by Rabbi Kalanimus Berbi Yehuda of Magens, one of the three cities targeted. And it doesn't have as much references to Eov, or even to Echa. There is a refrain in the end of each stanza, and the refrain is Al Beis Hashem, the Al Beis Yisrael, the Al Am Hashem, Ki Naflu V'Charev. So that refrain about the house of the Jewish people and the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that fell in battle. But much of it is descriptive. It's remember, the basic tense or genre of most of these kinos is very poetic. A lot of citations of psukim from Tanakh, clearly from Echa, from Eov, a lot of rhyming. This is more of a prose. It's descriptive. There are real events being described. It's not as poetic a kina as many of the other kinos, and it doesn't quote as many psukim or play around and paraphrase the words of different psukim. Second of all, the difference between kina number 25, this kina, Mi Tein Roshi Mayim, and previous ones, and in particular, Kina 23, which also talked about the medieval tragedies, is that this is very, very case-specific. It isn't just referring to the general environment in France and Germany in the end of the 11th century, but in particular, to the events in Germany, these three cities, these events in 1096. Now, the events in 1096 obviously were connected to the First Crusade, and the First Crusade being encouraged by the Pope in order to empty or rid the Promised Land from infidels. And many of these mobs were gathering. Many people were almost disappointed, many Christians. Why should they have to travel to Yerushalayim to fight the infidel, where there are so many infidels and so many non-believers, so to speak, living near them? And passion started to boil. There's a very famous statement was issued by Godfrey, one of the Catholic personalities, Godfrey of Bouillon, who swore that he's going to go on this journey and shedding Jewish blood and eradicating the trace of anything named Jew. Interestingly enough, Henry IV, the emperor, was notified of this and he tried to prevent it. So it was actually a very interesting period because not all the Christians were involved in this massacre, and in fact some of the local authorities tried to harbor Jews and to protect Jews. Many Jews hid with local families, but in some ways that made it even worse because these were bands and mobs of people marauding their way through Europe on the way to Yerushalayim. And it also was really the first moment, one could claim, of organized Christian anti-Semitism in Europe of this volume. This wasn't the first, and there were local pogroms, persecutions, plots, expulsions already in Metz, one of the cities in the 9th century, and then in a city in France in the 10th century, and certainly throughout the early 11th century and even mid-11th century there were threats, but it was never as powerful and passionate and organized. It wasn't really organized. These were troops that were marching through. I mean, most of these events during the spring of 1096 were perpetrated by a crusade led by Count Emico, and his group included around 10,000 men, women, children. Remember, these were entourages marching to Yerushalayim. They weren't just soldiers. These were bands of people migrating their way towards Yerushalayim, towards Jerusalem, picking up others on their way, picking up others who would join them, They weren't exclusively French. They were also picking up people from Germany. And it really indicated to the Jewish people that the force and the savagery of Christian anti-Semitism, which would so dominate the millennia. It's almost like it's a very neatly scheduled. When I say neat, I don't mean comfortable, but there's a neat packaging where it occurs in the beginning of the previous millennia, in the beginning of the first century of that millennia. And it really casts a certain flavor and gives this millennia this flavor of Christian-led, Christian-driven anti-Semitism. The Kina describes three particular cities, the cities being, of course, Ashpira, Vermaisa, and Magenza, three cities along the German border with France in those days. And the events are described in very, very precise details, even with dates. And as I said before, it's what makes this kina very unique. It's almost like a newspaper report and less of a biblical poem or biblical-based poem or kina. The events are well documented, both in Jewish sources and other sources. The first town was the town of Aspira, of Spire. It was attacked on the eighth day of Iyar. So it's happening in the spring, early spring or summer, on 8 Iyar. And believe it or not, as terrifying and tragic as the events are described in the kina, really only about 10 people were killed. A lot of the Jews in the city barricaded themselves in a tower, and they only killed the 10 people who were found in the street who weren't able to escape and protect themselves. There was a particular woman who they did capture, and they were going to threaten her with conversion, and she killed herself. And again, as I mentioned in the previous kina, a lot of the subplots are, first of all, that most of the Jews in most cases were given the option of baptism or conversion. Most didn't choose it. And then, of course, you also have the second undercurrent of forced suicide or of voluntary suicide to prevent being converted or to prevent torture. So these are the issues which the previous kina of Hachrishim Imenu already evoked, and they're very much latent. Excuse me, this kina as well. The next town along the route to be terrorized was the town of Worms or Vermaisa, and here there were really two situations. The situation first broke on the 23rd of Iyar, and then the Jews ran to evidently some sort of citadel of the local bishop, and like I said, many of the local governors tried to shield the Jews, but in most cases they really weren't successful in light of this frenzied mob on their way to Yerushalayim. And a week later, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they finally broke through the citadel, and about 800 Jews were killed, and it was on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And the transitioning of these events from Iyar to Sivan was particularly painful and particularly symbolic to Chazal, because Sivan was the month of Nisin HaSatara, of Matan Torah. And to have a month so dramatically transformed from a month in which Torah was delivered into a month in which Torah was desecrated, and which Sifrei Torahs were burned and Bate Knesses were destroyed, was both particularly painful but also symbolic that the source of our strength was being assailed, was being dismantled. The next scene takes place in Magenza. There was a lot of bribery to try to receive protection from the bishop, and there were a lot of bribes going on, even in some cases before the Crusades set out. There were bribes that I mentioned before. There was this French person, Geoffrey of Bouillon, who swore to go on this journey, and ultimately the Jews of Cologne, a city in Germany, and of Mainz, sent him a bribe to try to avoid and avert this tragedy. So in Magenz, they also tried to bribe and to receive protection. And these are the three cities which are described. Interestingly enough, without trying to trivialize it, it's described as very savage, and it's described as very brutal. But in terms of sheer numbers, you're talking about, and there are some different estimates, but and it's hard to really know how much it was, but you're talking about somewhere between 5,000, probably, maybe a few more. Some have put the estimates as high, and this is probably the highest estimate at 12,000. But you're not dealing with large, large numbers. Remember, I mentioned earlier that the city of Aspira, Aspire, 10 people were killed. It's not something to dismiss. But when you put into the context of the Holocaust, put into the context of the 6 million people that were killed and murdered during the Holocaust, it obviously has a very, very different dimension. Some of the other issues which arise in this kina is, first of all, a struggle almost in the end of the kina, a deliberation as to whether extra days can be added or should be added. Because on the one hand, this is a new suffering and a new tragedy, and as I mentioned before, it marked for many people the start of Christian organized anti-Semitism. And on the other hand, we don't just simply add days and add tannis. And there's an allusion in the end of the kina to a very interesting Rashi. Rashi in Divrei Hayamim, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Chaf Hei, talks about Tisha B'Av as a day that we commemorate all sorts of tragedies, including, as Rashi says, Haharugim B'Gzeros She'iru B'Yameinu, the victims of the persecutions that occurred in our own day. So Rashi is clearly referencing this spring of 1096. And Rashi is also alluding to the fact that we don't just simply add extra days, but Tisha B'Av became the day in which we commemorate and think about all the sufferings and all the persecutions which occurred throughout history. What's interesting about that is, first of all, in our own context, some of the debates about whether to add a day for the Shoah. And again, much of that debate is political. Those who believe in the state of Israel acknowledge the state's role and ability to establish dates of memory and dates of national importance and dates of national symbolism, like moments of silence. Those who do not recognize or acknowledge the state as a religious or as a national organ, so the state's decisions don't really carry that much weight. But part of it is based on this Rashi, and if something like the persecutions during 1096 don't merit their own day, why should the Holocaust? And the response to that, well, the Holocaust in dimension is just so much different, so much larger, so much more inconceivable, that it really does require its own day. So there's a bit of prescient foreshadowing of a debate that unfortunately would return about 1,000 years later. This is taking place, remember, at the beginning of the millennia, 1096. At the end of the millennia, 1945, 1950, after the Holocaust, a similar debate emerged. And Rashi already then felt that despite the atrocities, they should all be incorporated within the Avelos of Tisha B'Av. What's interesting about this is secondarily that there were days throughout history that were established as separate days to commemorate separate attacks. So, for example, probably the most famous day is Chaf Sivan, again, Sivan being converted from a month of Torah into a month of suffering. The Beinu Tam, Beinu Takana, that on Chaf Sivan, some attacks against the Jews should be commemorated, but more contemporarily, in the 17th century, after the Khmelnytsky pogroms, so Chaf Sivan was also established as a special fast day, and in fact, there were even unique slichos and tfilos and all sorts of minhagim in Poland that surrounded the day of Chaf Sivan, very, very well known. So, despite Rashi having already asserted that special days should not be added, and this kina, written by Rev Kolanimus Ben Yehuda, who lived in Aspira, also alludes to that and alludes to the fact in the end of his kina that day should not be added, and therefore the day is being, or the events are being commemorated on Tisha B'Av. Throughout history, there were moments in which special days and special takanas were made, and a lot of it, of course, surrounds whether we should have a special day for Yom HaShoah or shouldn't. And again, textually, most of the kina is not really, certainly not as poetic as some of the other kinos. It's much more descriptive, which does stand out. And some of the themes, again, to summarize, the suicides, the willingness to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, the sadness of the distortion and perversion of Chodesh Sivan, from a month of Torah to a month in which Torah was routed, a month in which Torah was suppressed, and the tears with which the kina begins. I wish my head were full of tears and my eyes could cry forth rivers, and I would spend my entire days and nights crying over all the children and infants and elder people who were killed in these pogroms.